Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
I want to thank Zoom.us for sponsoring this show, and also Pluto TV. All your favorite devices. Drew loves himself some Pluto TV. What's going on there, Drew?
I got some stuff I want to talk about, but I want to I want to go to some calls first. I want to talk to these guys. Let's go to line five.
Okay. Cool with that? Yeah. Hey, Jay, 31, Tampa, Florida.
Hey, how you guys doing? Big kind of show. Thanks for my call. So I'm a second-year family medicine resident out here in Tampa.
Drew, no eating meat.
I enjoy medicine. I kind of lost my passion for it somewhat. About 6 years ago, separately from all this, I bought a lot of Bitcoin. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Yeah, sure, Bitcoin.
Yeah, back when it was cheap, as you told me back then. And last year, there was a big boom in the price, and I have enough to actually pay off my student loans and support myself. It's more about telling my family, friends that I'm retiring and quitting. You know, my parents are kind of conservative Indian types. They would flip their lids if they knew that, you know, after all these years, you know, they'd want their son to be a doctor. I'm quitting after all these years.
Did you liquidate your position in Bitcoin?
I have not.
Well, do that before you announce your retirement. Make sure you actually make. Who knows what could happen tomorrow? You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Well, what kind of profit are we talking about here?
I mean, in percentage terms or in
money?
Flat,
well,
dollars.
I don't know.
In dollars.
People get uptight about talking about money, so I just sort of said like.
Well, dollars, so we can understand what he's retiring with.
A few million.
Okay. So enough to generate income to support you, right?
Yeah, you know, I'd probably do some into Bitcoin just because it's, you know.
Yeah, hold on, Jay. Hang on for a second. His phone line's a little rough, but he's a doctor or was a doctor?
Second-year family resident. Practice resident.
Invests in Bitcoin, now just kind of wants out.
Yeah.
At 31.
Yeah.
You know, let's discuss
I have some very strong feelings about this.
I have thoughts, too. First off, it's so weird that we make the ultimate agenda retiring. You know, that guy retired at 44.
Well,
that guy's kicking ass.
I had this conversation with my son. He's like, how does it feel to be 60? And I go, well, one of the things I realized is I wasn't raised with the notion of retirement. I have no fucking idea what that means. I work until you can't is all I know. And not planning on stopping. At 60, you kind of looking around and you go, well, that's kind of weird. I'm not making plans for retirement at all because I don't plan to retire. And by the way, I've seen a lot of men in their 70s stop working. I mean, I saw this a repetitive pattern. My son reminded me that I brought it up to him. Dead in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I see a ton, like uncanny amount. So that always caught my attention. I'm like,
Right into banging 26-year-olds
and kill and have a heart attack.
You stroke out.
Yes, what happened?
Look, what would be nice is if everyone found a job that was rewarding and satisfying.
Okay, but keep going.
And then pursued that and was able to be gainfully employed in that career.
Yeah.
Now, not for 75 hours a week, but for 30 hours a week or whatever you cut it back to after you became wealthy. And that would be my wish for my kids or anybody else's kids, which is first thing, do not walk in looking for a reason to retire every day, you know?
Yeah. Find work that's satisfying.
I would like to say, what I would wish for my kids is that somebody said, what's your son do? You fill in the blank. He could be computer designer, it could be a florist. And then he won the lottery because someone else bought him a ticket, not because he's stupid enough to buy it himself. And he got $1 billion, and he went back into work the next day.
Right.
Because he enjoys his job and the people he works with.
Right.
Now, he's not working anymore Saturdays.
Right.
But he's there on Monday.
Yeah.
And there you go.
So let me get him back, yeah? Jay, you still with us?
Yeah.
So, Jay, I know a lot. I've come upon a lot of people over the years who've had similar stories, not with Bitcoin, but people who've made money. And what I've noticed over and over again is once they sort of cash out and sort of build their house or whatever, they very quickly become I want to use the word like antsy, like uncomfortable. And they start looking around and go, well, what am I going to do? I got to do something. I got to do something. What's my purpose here? What am I going to do something? And what I found, first of all, I was very frustrated with it.
You're what?
I would find it very frustrating that people say that when you're struggling to support your kids and stuff. But in any event, what I found.
What do you mean?
Let me finish.
Yeah.
So with all of them, they wanted to do something, but they didn't have any skill set to really make the kind of difference that would fulfill them. You know what I'm saying? To get that service itch filled where you really feel like you're able to help somebody, people have left out the idea that you need a certain amount of skill and wisdom to be able to offer something really meaningful to another person. You have the potential to have that. You're 1 year, maybe a year and a half away from having that locked. And then when you feel the need to go make a difference, you can go do that places. You have you'll have your board certification, you'll be able to do it frankly wherever you want. And that having that ability to make a difference here and there, even if you're not doing it all the time, and by the way, I'm gonna predict you will start doing it more than you expect, is really important. And if you forsake it now, particularly at the finish line, I think you will regret it, and the high probability is you'll never finish. Does that make sense? Are you still there?
Yeah, his phone line's
a
little.
Call?
Oh, his phone line's a little.
Will you please listen to this podcast later? I just poured my heart out to you.
Thank you, Drew.
All right, but does that make sense, what I was saying?
Yeah.
Or would you go against that?
Well, no. It's weird. As you were talking, I was thinking about myself.
Of course.
And I was thinking, you know, these people, they go, I retire and I got bored. I don't have anything to do.
Yeah.
And then I always think to myself, now, I've always spoken about the importance of living this sort of tangible life, like living in a world where you have these little projects and these tasks and you have to physically put things together, go do this thing, you know, and people say, let someone else do that or you handle it. I realized with myself, as you were talking about this, I have so many projects, like physical projects, that if you said to me, no more work for you, and I would, my next question would be, but I have an income or I have money, right?
Yeah.
You got the money, just no more work. I'd immediately dive into all these kajillions of like tangible, like physical projects.
And those are a kind of work for some people. You know what I mean?
Right. And so
– and maybe this guy has some other set of skills or something he can offer, but he has this one that's really valuable that he's invested a lot into, and society has invested him as well, let's be clear, that he would become portable with and do what he wants with it whenever he wants, even, you know, do free service, whatever. Just, he'd have a skill set that could make a difference, and I just think he would really value it. He's got a long life ahead. And it's important.
I agree. But look, everyone, go out and roll your sleeves up and get into something a little bit, because in a world where the video screen, computer screen, or iPhone screen beckons, you're getting sucked into this kind of you see the movie Tron?
Yeah.
It's like that, dude.
Sucked into it.
You're getting sucked into a screen.
Is Jeff Bridges there?
He's in the screen.
Okay, yeah.
He's wearing
an
outfit.
Okay, good.
A special Tron motorcycle.
Right.
So in a world where you're going to get sucked into this, you know how black people have the school-to-prison pipeline? We have the board-to-Tron pipeline. Whitey gets sucked into the Tron pipeline. You understand?
Nice. Yes.
Video games and just whatever online, it'll suck you in. And the antidote to that is literally like physical, like in the garage. You could be in the garage with Dr. Drew doing Olympic-style weightlifting, or you could be in the garage with me turning a wrench, but go into the garage and turn the screen off.
So true.
And stop it, because you're getting sucked into that screen.
Yep.
That the Bitcoin world is sucking you into this invisible kind of currency.
Yeah.
And it's got a siren song, and it's got its hooks in everybody. And the question is how do you balance it? It's not how do you avoid the screen. You don't avoid the screen. It's ubiquitous.
Yeah. You can't.
But how do you break it off and get into the garage? How do you carve out that time? Where are your projects? What's going on? When I marvel at people that go, I'm bored. I got nothing to do. Like, what are you doing? I'm just at home. You know, why don't you have 1,000 things going? I mean, outside of work, where's all the stuff you want to do? Please keep that in mind, peoples. Yes.
Again, you've got to remember that this hobby, whatever you have, I don't, it seems more developed than hobby, it is a skill. You have
it
gigantic
is.
Skill there. And you need skill to be able to create stuff that makes you happy and a difference. I'm telling you. People think, oh, I'll go you know, serve soup in the soup kitchen. You won't do that very long.
Right.
But if you have your family practitioner board and you want to go down and serve the children of the homeless guy, you'll go down there and you'll do it. And you'll feel damn good about it.
Oh, yes. If somebody says to me, show up to Habitat for Humanity and dig ditches, I'll go, no. They go, come to Habitat for Humanity and hang doors.
Yeah.
I'll go, yes, that's a skill set.
Right? Isn't that weird?
Joining a volunteer
and then no one
group.
Teaches that's a differentiating feature that differentiates between tasks that are really satisfying and those that are just sort of.
It's funny, even in my mind as I'm thinking about it, as you're talking, when I would think about, okay, you got to bust out this and rip out that and demo out this and then clean up that. But at the end, you get to hang a door. It was like, ooh, okay, I get to do all the mindless crap that I don't want to do, whatever. But at the end, I could get the template out and the router and I put the collar on it. And then I get to do the intricate stuff,
precision
like the cool
work.
Stuff, the
yeah.
precision stuff. And people who have zero of that or zero version of that in their life, I wish them luck because
and
I feel
be
like
clear,
that's going to be it's difficult.
It doesn't have to be mechanical, doesn't have to be intellectual, but it has to be a skill. I mean, maybe it's you play an instrument or something. It's something that you can contribute with. It's weird.
It could be cooking.
Yeah,
but
it could be cooking. Absolutely.
You got to have that skill.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Kyle, 45, Honolulu.
Hi, Adam, Dr. Drew. Thanks
Kyle,
for taking
how's
my call.
It going? Sure.
Big time fan. I got an issue that I've never had to call before, but this one really needed your opinion. I have a coworker friend, 41-year-old male. He's a big drinker, always been a big drinker, party guy. Everyone likes him. Worked for the federal government. Our job is basically protection of life and property.
Jesus.
That's kind of all I want to get into. And he's a supervisor of mine, one of my supervisors. And he's just recently had some pretty bad things happen to him. Lost a mom, cousin died, a dog just died. And he's been increasing his drinking quite a bit to the point now where he actually, we're shift workers. Sometimes we work mid shifts, swing shifts, day shifts. So on the evening shifts, he, in a backpack, has started bringing alcohol into work, which is a fireable offense in the government. You can't bring alcohol on the premises at all.
Mm-hmm.
And he's drinking at work, not to the point where he becomes to where he can't do his job, but it's basically he's doing this just to get through a shift. It's sometimes vodka, Tito's. But just yesterday, he downed an entire six-pack of beer through a nine-hour shift.
What is that? Yeah, what is the shift? Why does the shift change so much?
Because we're open 24/7.
I get it, but I'm speaking as a guy who has a cocktail in the evening.
right, right.
I work mm-hmm. all day and I don't touch any booze all day, but at night when I'm done with everything, I have a cocktail. And if you said to me all of a sudden, like, hey, no more work all day, now just starting tonight, you're going to work, I don't think I'd bring in a bottle of booze, but I would be thinking, wait a minute, this is cocktail time. It's 10 o'clock
at
night. This is me time. So to me, if you're going to keep the schedule, shuffling the deck on the schedule, you're going to have some of this, or you're, at least you're going to, I shouldn't say compel.
It certainly doesn't help.
It's not going to help.
No.
Is there a way? I mean, Drew's going to say this isn't the problem, but I'm going to say, like, I don't care if you drink or don't drink. Having a job where you mm-hmm. work days and then at some point you work nights and then you go back to days, that's a recipe for screwing you up.
However, remember, this is a guy that's responsible for life and safety.
No, I get it. I'm not going to say it's okay to drink on the job.
Not even on the job. I would argue that if he's at that point, even when he's not drinking during the day, he's going to be affected.
I'm going to ask, though, is there first a way to just get on a schedule that doesn't involve doing, you know, graveyard and overnights and blah, blah, blah?
No, it's just part of the job. We all do it.
Okay.
We all know the schedule months in advance.
Okay.
It's usually like a string of mids, maybe five or six, and you have 3 days off. Then you might come back on swings.
Right. So
he's an alcoholic. He's talked to me about his alcohol. He knows he's a drinker, but I'm the only one who knows, and there's another supervisor that has found out, and we don't know really whether we should. We're kind of hoping that he just stops.
He's not
going to
stop. He's not going to stop.
I would tell him this is the beginning of the consequence part when Dr. Drew is trying to define alcoholism. Okay. This is where the consequence. Uh-huh. It's not about volume. It's about consequences. And now this is the part where you're jeopardizing your career. Okay?
Oh, he's taking a huge risk. He makes great money. He's got a degree. He's extremely intelligent. And so I don't know why he's doing it.
I don't know if Drew...
Well, he's alcoholic.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Yes. Is that what he's doing? Come on, please. You're throwing it all away.
Should we confront him?
I would. Absolutely.
I would say, what the fuck, dude?
Well, okay.
Come on.
Let me handle this. I would say this. Give the definition of alcoholism with the continued use and
in spite of consequences.
Now we're up against the consequence, which is losing your career and your livelihood. I'm not going to plan an intervention, and I'm not going to say you can't have a beer when you get home, but you cannot drink here. You cannot drink on the job. He knows it, the supervisor. I know it. We're going to check your backpack. And if you do drink on the job, then that is a consequence, and then you need to go to rehab. If you want to, you should go to rehab anyway.
The way it works, we would have to go to a manager and let them know.
Right.
And I would just wish he was an asshole, then it would be easy to just turn him in. But he's such a great guy.
Yeah, you're doing him a favor. I don't know, Drew.
I think there's a given.
He's also lying to me about his drinking too.
Sure,
he's lying
through his mouth.
Of course.
So I have a feeling that the magnitude of this drinking is actually considerably worse than you imagine, and that he's drinking to prevent withdrawal. And if you make him stop, I would say there's a 50% probability he'll have a seizure at work. And so
he already had an anxiety attack.
No, not an anxiety attack.
I mean
a seizure.
Well,
right.
A full-on seizure.
Okay.
And I would say he's heading towards that, and he's...
Well, I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I've gone through all that myself.
All right. So he knows.
I know the signs. I know the tells. He's got these little tells that just...
All right. Maybe you go to some Al-Anon meetings and talk about it and sort of get some clarity about how to manage it. It will really help you manage him. And then if you can get him to go to some meetings with you, great. Get him to some meetings. Let's get on this. But I think he's heading towards hospitalization. I think this guy needs a couple weeks somewhere.
So. All right. Well, it sounds like you have the kind of job that would support that.
Yes. You're sick. You go get treatment. It's no big deal.
Yeah, I know,
all
Drew.
This
you
craziness.
Always you do that all the time. You know what you're like? You're like some fucking fat European broad who goes, the body's beautiful. It was meant to be naked. There's nothing wrong with being a nudist. And you're like, it's weird. My children I don't want to bring them up. And look, come here. Little 9-year-old, 8-year-old.
Give me a hug.
Sit on mommy's bosom. And you're like, yeah, it's weird. Look, it's natural. It's just a human body. Yeah. Get over it. And I'm like, I'm telling you, there's some stigma there. Now, when I gave you my nudist camp thing, you snapped right to it, didn't you?
Yeah.
You understand exactly what I'm talking about.
Exactly. Okay. Mr. Carolla.
You're welcome. No, it's natural and they should understand and everything else, but it's still got a stigma and weird. And
yes, but from the standpoint of the employer, not only are they legally required to look at it as any other illness, they are ethically to treat it without stigma, without judgment, and without question even. They're not even allowed to ask him what he's in treatment for.
I get it, but word around camp is that he couldn't hold this liquor. You know what I mean? All right, let me tell you about Pluto TV. Leading free streaming television service. That is Pluto TV. Watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, completely free. Pluto TV never asks you for a credit card. They don't even need to sign you up. You just start watching. Pluto TV is the easy, completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies. And you do it all for free. Never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. I don't know what you're waiting for. It's the best, and it's free. Download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV,
should
smart
TV. You should be doing it now.
Do it right now in the time I've been talking about. Yeah. That's how fast Drew did it.
Yep.
PlayStation, anywhere else you stream. And you can watch my channel, Chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y. It's available now. It's got lots of great content there at Pluto TV. So, Drew. Yeah, retiring. Weird, right?
Yeah. And so I don't plan to. I realized it was not even a plan, which is crazy, right?
I don't know. I feel like you're doing what you want to do.
Yeah.
And if you're doing what you want to do, then...
And it still seems useful and I still enjoy it. And why then wouldn't I keep doing it?
I agree. I mean, obviously, there's an element of work that has a responsibility and an obligation to it, which is aside from what if you're doing... You know, there's two sort of parts of work. One is are you doing what you want to do? And the answer is yes. But when are you doing it? And whose metronome
who's
are you
charge?
Using? Yeah. And when are you have to do it? And do you have to do it Mondays if you don't feel like it? Yes, you do. Okay, so now we're getting to kind of an obligation point where it's sort of like,
you're crazy to be able to have complete control over everything. Right? Schedule and all.
Yes.
Pretty crazy.
It's rare. That happens.
You can aim for that.
You could. And then there's a version of you doing what you want to do, Drew, and sort of tweaking it and trimming it and shaping it to more your liking.
I've kind of always been doing that for the last like 10, 12 years or so, I feel like.
Yeah, but... the notion of not doing it also feels like there's a contribution that you're making, a connection that you're having. You have your listeners or your clients
whatever. I feel like I'd go back and do more medicine because I'd feel kind of useless.
Yeah, well, there's two parts of retiring. Look, when you work for the fucking post office and retire, who gives a shit? The letter still gets there the next day.
Yep.
You retire, there's going to be something missing in somebody's life. Mm-hmm. I don't know how big a gap, you know, how big a hole there'll be in everyone. But
thank you for that.
Well, let's not overdo it here. You're not that important. But, I mean, there are people that want to hear what you have to say.
Or
there are patients
the
that need to hear what you have to say.
Right.
They're going to miss that relationship. And they're going to go, I miss, look, when hairstylists retire, their clients are let down.
Yep.
And they would like them to continue on
because
they feel like you're my stylist. I need you to help. This isn't just doctors and comedians.
Yep.
This is hairstylists and chefs and everything else where
we have a value in their relationship with that person. Yeah.
When Quentin Tarantino retires, I shall be disappointed.
Yeah.
I look forward to his
Woody
product.
Allen.
I look forward to his product as well. So that's my point. So there's a balance. Again, there's like, what do you want to do? And then what other people kind of get out of this?
Never going to retire, right?
Right. Although you just put him on a death clock.
Probably did.
So it's something to think about for everybody. And I think if you are staring at, I got to get out by the time I'm 60 or I got to get out by the time I feel like it's a fool's errand. Think about doing what you want to do, and then you can decide about retiring.
I totally agree. I've been meaning to talk to you about all week was the Kaepernick Nike thing. But before we get to that, I want to tell everyone about Zoom.us. I'm very excited about these guys. It's a video conferencing. 2018, Zoom was the clear winner of all the different options out there. It's flawless video, clear audio, instant sharing across any device, desktop, laptop, tablet, or mobile. We use it exclusively with our guests at DrDrew.com. It is striking HD video. You can put up to 49 people live on a screen. It's ridiculous. You can share anything from any device, Word files, spreadsheets, videos, pictures, YouTube, photos from your phone, anything. It's just so easy to use. It's very reliable, and the quality is flawless. You can even set up a green screen and put a backdrop of whatever you want in there. Just visit Zoom.us, and you can set up your free account today. Meet happy with Zoom Video Communications. Set up your free account today at zoom.us. I promise you, it really kind of We have found, you know, we have used a lot of these different things and have found that Zoom really stands head and shoulders above the rest. I kid you not. It's an app on your phone and somebody can Zoom from their computer. It's just ridiculously easy and the quality is unsurpassed. Again, set up that free account today at zoom.us.
Mm.
Kaepernick and Nike, what'd you think about that?
Well, as I told Mark Garagus, I have mixed feelings. I sort of believe in his right to protest, sure, although there's kind of an element of that where, well, maybe not on the company time per se.
But that's nothing to do with rights. That's just whether he's going to retain his job or not.
Yeah, look, I believe in a world where you want to join the military and you've decided to join the military, they're allowed to go, here's your uniform.
Yeah.
And you go, okay. And then they go, hey, tuck in your shirt. And you go, I don't like to wear my shirt tucked in. It's like, well, you're in the military.
Yeah.
And we tell you to tuck your shirt in. Now, I don't want to live in a world where someone wakes me up at night and goes, put on a military uniform. And I go, huh? And they go, your shirt's not tucked in. And I go, I didn't sign up for it. But if you want to go sign up for the military or the NFL or whatever it is, they have a uniform. And you put it on. And they have other rules, I suppose. And those are the rules. So I'm sort of that way. But if you feel strongly about the cause, then you're allowed to talk about it and have press conferences and do whatever you want about it. But it's based on a false premise. And that's the problem I have. I have a problem with the fact that what we've decided is an epidemic in this country, which is unarmed black men being shot by cops, is really much more of a freak occurrence than it is an epidemic. And to call it an epidemic and then proceed as if it's an epidemic is false. It's not statistically factual. So now the media is not interested in sorting the epidemics out from the Chicken Little skies falling out, so it just is. Or they can go, all right, well, if one black man is shot unarmed by the cops, that's one too many. And it's like, yeah, okay, but if one kid dies of malaria in the United States, that's one too many. But it's not an epidemic. So stop calling it. Stop. It's not his fault. I think he's a product of the news. It's the news's fault.
All right, so,
and then Nike doesn't care. They're just buying into whatever they think will get them a little cred, because right, there's no such thing as we make a superior product anything anymore. It's good vibes, and more good vibes, or being on the right side of every issue.
You're literally going to tell your political persuasion by which shoes you wear. It's going to be weird. It's right, already by where you eat. You can't go to Chick-fil-A. You can't go to In-N-Out Burger. It's really kind of weird.
Oh, I can.
Yeah. But mm-hmm. But here, I agree and I disagree. I agree that Nike doesn't care.
Uh-huh.
I think it was a very good move for Nike. I think it's spot on in terms of getting people to talk about their brand and, you know, giving the rebel sort of nod, and also good for millennials where they probably need to expand their product.
That's what they want.
Yeah. Excellent job.
Mm-hmm.
I think Colin Kaepernick, I think you're going to agree with everything I'm going to say. Colin Kaepernick, in terms of inventing this protest, A plus, man. Yeah, hang on.
I got a little stuff with him. First off, he's half black and was raised, raised by a white family. Like, how? He's not even. I don't know if people know he's black per se, but maybe he's going, it's not about me, it's about everyone else.
Whatever. But he certainly made an impact with his protest, right? He didn't expect all the NFL to follow him. He made a very good, in terms of outcome, in terms of effectiveness, a very effective protest. We'll use the word effective.
Well, no, not effective in terms of stymieing the problem, okay, because there wasn't a problem.
All right. So that, if it had just been him alone, you could address that with him and have that conversation and figure out what it was. The problem was it became contagious, and now you have all different people with all different kinds of ideas about this. You no longer can have that conversation that you might have been able to have with Colin Kaepernick, right?
I guess.
So,
but no, it's damaging in that he's convincing young black kids that there's a target on their back when it comes to the police, which is going to hurt their interactions with the police.
And you could have that conversation.
And now, statistically, there's going to be more dead young black kids because cops aren't getting out of their cars.
And you could have that conversation with him And by the way, his protest still would have been effective, very effective, right?
Well, effective in what?
Well, very effective in terms of getting attention for this topic that he is concerned about, even though you say it's unworthy of his attention. He's concerned about it, much the way Nike is concerned.
If my goal was to get people to quit smoking, so I went on a protest and it caused more people to smoke, I wouldn't call that effective. It'd be more people knowing about me going on this goal. But still, this whole Black Lives Matter thing is statistically causing more people who you're trying to save to get shot because cops are not getting out of the patrol car. So no, not effective.
Okay.
In terms of your goal, effective in terms of people knowing about you and talking about it, very effective.
Agreed. Okay. Much the way Nike's goal is just to get their brand out there, right? They don't really care about whether it changes anything. They just want their brand out there, right? So on the surface, everybody's getting kind of what they intend, even though what's underneath it is it gets a little bit dicier. That's all. That's my position.
All right.
That's it.
So effective in everything except for solving the problem that you're protesting. With that little caveat making an impact in the problem that you're talking about.
Has Gergos told you what kind of guy Colin Kaepernick is?
He's a
great guy. He absolutely is. I met him only once, to be fair, but I had that same impression. And I feel like you could have this conversation with him, no problem.
I absolutely assume he's that guy. Yeah. And I think Gergos is a great guy, too. Yeah. You can disagree with people and not make them into bad people. Or insincere people.
But not everyone will have the conversation with you that they're defensive about.
Well, I don't think Maxine Waters is a good person.
She's also not going to have any conversations with you about.
But I do think Colin Kaepernick is a good person who's got some bad information and went down a path.
I'd love to hear what he has to say. That's it. The way I like to hear what you have to say.
You can hear what he has to say, but there's statistics, Drew, and as a man of medicine, like to hear what it – oh, like, I'm going to – you want to hear what I say about pro-smoking? Or are you a fucking doctor and you know things?
I'm a fucking doctor.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Good positive note to go out on.
Good vibes.
Good vibes. All right. You can check me out October 27th, Phoenix Live, Stand Up Live. And we're doing two shows. We're doing live-based cable commentary there. You can go to AdamCarolla.com for everything you need, and Chassis as well. Drew, what do you got?
Doctor.com. Don't forget that Opium series. You really will learn a lot if you read it. And check out Family Pods.
Oh, and check out Jordan Harbinger and his show. He's our friend at Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.
Yeah, Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. You can watch over 100 channels, thousands of movies, on demand. Well, it's free. It's completely free. Normally when you hear on demand, you go, how much? Nope, not with Pluto TV. They never ask for a credit card. It's all legal. Just go log on and get it done. The time I'm doing this, you could have Pluto TV, download Pluto TV for free and do it on your Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, your phone, whatever. And check out Chassis, Chassy, our channel, available now on Pluto TV.